Please take your Bibles this morning and turn to Proverbs chapter 6. This morning we're looking again at verses 16 and 17 as we are talking about pride and lying. We didn't get to talk about lying last Sunday, and it's very possible we might not get to talk about it today, but we'll see how far we can go. But we're dealing with sinful habits. We have looked at a list in Galatians 5. We have considered the topic of worry, and right now we're looking at pride and then lying. And pride is one of those things, as we said last time, that reveals its ugly head in many different ways, in ways that many times we don't always see. And as we have been talking about this, we pointed out in Proverbs chapter 6, as he says in this passage, that there are six things which the Lord hates, yes, seven which are an abomination to him. It's not saying that there's just six things he hates and seven is the abomination, but he is saying that the seventh one is the one he hates most of all. And he says here, haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. So what I mean there is that there is one that is an abomination, but they're all things that he hates. And as I pointed out last time, that can be a little confusing at times because we talk about God being a God of love, but God is also a God of hate. And you know as well as I do that if you love something or someone, then you're going to hate anything or anyone that would come against what you love. In other words, we love our family, and if anyone were to hurt them, then we would hate that one who is doing that, and we would hate the evil by which they're manifesting themselves. Pride is one of those things, of course, that manifests itself, but it is sin. And it'll manifest itself in different ways. And as we said last time, that pride is against God, as we look at it this morning, I want us to see the destructive nature of pride. The Bible tells us that pride defiles. It defiles us in many ways because it sets our hearts up against God, and that certainly is a problem. Never at any time in our life would we ever want to do that as believers, and I think many times in a life as an unbeliever, there are those who have purposely set themselves out to do this, but you may not have been one of them in that way. I know that if you watch what's going on in society, watch what's going on in our culture, you watch politics, if you notice this past year that the Democratic Convention decided not to have God in their platform, God in their program, that is pride. That is removing God from his rightful place, ungod God, if you could say it that way. But this particular issue right here defiles the inner person. Hold your place right there and turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 7. And notice what Mark tells us about this in chapter 7, verses 21 and following. He says, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man." So it lists pride right here in the same list as evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, and so forth. It is just as bad as any of those things. It is wicked. It is sinful. And again, it's wicked and sinful because it's against God. It's against Him. In Proverbs 11 and verse 2, it talks about it producing shame in the life of a person. It says, "When pride comes, then comes dishonor. And with the humble is wisdom." And not only does it defile and produce shame, in Proverbs 13:10, It tells us that it produces other things. It says, through insolence comes nothing but strife. But wisdom is with those who receive counsel. And the insolent that comes there is a word for pride. Pride brings about strife. And in chapter 16 of Proverbs, and by the way, you can see Proverbs has a lot to say about these things. In Proverbs 16, 18, it tells us that it produces destruction. It says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. And this is certainly one of those sins that is of the world and not of the Father. The boastful pride of life, as the Apostle John refers to it. And it also, we see that this is something that will characterize the final days before Jesus Christ returns. Listen to these words in 2 Timothy 3. It says, but realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, that's pride, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, those are terms for pride, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these, for among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This will characterize the final days. As he says there, those who will love themselves. And again, that's what pride does. Pride promotes self. Pride exalts self. It is a lover of self. Joseph Hall says, if God spared not the angels whom he placed in the highest heavens, for their pride threw them down headlong to the nethermost hell, how much less shall he spare the proud dust and ashes of the sons of men, but shall cast them from the height of their earthly altitude to the bottom of that infernal dungeon. Humility makes men angels. Pride makes angels devils. And then he goes on to say, he says, oh, let us be humbled by our repentance, that we may not be brought down to everlasting confusion. Let us be cast down upon our knees, that we may not be cast down upon our faces. For God will make good his own word one way. A man's pride shall bring him low. Pride is sin. And pride, because it's sin, is to be hated. If God hates this, then we need to hate it, right? These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. And what does he hate? He hates pride. J. Vernon McGee says, God has a complete hatred of these things, and they are all the works of the flesh. They are things that reveal the total depravity and the utter degradation of the human species. God has gone on record that he hates them. God denies the thesis of liberal theology that he is some sentimental and senile old man who weeps but never works, that he simply shuts his eyes to the sins of mankind and is intolerant of evil, that he forgives because he hasn't the intestinal fortitude to punish sin. God says, I love, but he also says, I hate. And so pride is to be hated, and that's because God hates it. And pride is to be hated because we cannot fear God with it. When we're full of pride, we won't fear God. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. When you're prideful, you don't fear God. You're not seeing that it's against God and that it's destructive to you and to others. Your eyes have been blinded to this evil. In the book I was quoting from last week, The Exemplary Husband by Stuart Scott, it says, the enemy of humility is pride. You cannot have humility where pride exists. Pride is the opposite of humility, and it is one of those most loathed sins in God's sight. Proverbs 16:5 says, everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. And since this is the case, we must realize and recognize when it's in our life. And we must ask the Lord to help us to see it. Again, Stuart Scott gives a list of the manifestations of pride, and he says, as we have said, pride is blinding. This fact is why it is often difficult to see pride in ourselves, and yet so easy to see it in others. Isn't that true about a lot of sins? We're blind to it in our own life, but we can see it in others. And therefore, we can come off judging instead of judging ourselves first. No wonder why Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7 that before you start judging someone else, that you need to first judge your own heart. Before you can get the little speck out of your brother's eye, get the 2x4 beam out of your eye. Can't help anybody when you have this in your life. Can't help anybody when you're not willing to deal with this in your life. It's blinding. And that's why it's difficult to see it. I want to read a sample list of how pride manifests itself. And again, you might find it in some of the lists that these are things that are easy to see, but there are some things that are not. Listen to this list. Number one, how does pride manifest itself? Well, it manifests itself by complaining against or passing judgment on God. I thought I was going to say on each other, but on God. Think about that for a minute. A proud person in a difficult situation will think like this: look what God has done to me after all that I have done for him. That's dangerous. And see why pride is an abomination. Second way that it manifests itself is a lack of gratitude in general. Proud people usually think that they deserve what is good. And the result is they see no reason to be thankful for what they receive. As a matter of fact, they may even complain because they think they deserve better. And they tend to be critical and complaining and discontent. The proud person is not in the practice of being thankful toward God or even toward others. Third way that pride manifests itself is by anger. A proud person is often an angry person. One's anger can include outbursts of anger. It can include withdrawing, pouting, or even frustration. A person most often becomes angry because his rights or his expectations are not being met. Oh, if we could just remember that. Because sometimes we get mad at some of the craziest things. Some things that wouldn't bother us sometimes, but other times it does. And if we were just to look back and see, the reason why I'm mad right now is because my expectations are not being met. Think about that with kids. Sometimes we put higher expectations on them because maybe we have those expectations on ourselves. But many times we raise the bar sometimes so high that they can't even reach it. So anger is another way that pride can be manifested. It can also be manifested by seeing yourself as better than others. Now, none of us would maybe go out and say that, or some may. It's all depending on where you are in this, but a proud person is usually on top looking down on others. He gets easily disgusted and has little tolerance for differences. A fifth way that pride manifests itself is having an inflated view of your importance or an inflated view of your gifts and your abilities. Many proud people have a very wrong perception about themselves. They need a loving dose of reality. They need to hear what do you have that God didn't give you? Because what we have is a blessing from Him. Number six, if you're taking notes on this, a sixth way it's manifested is by being focused on the lack of your gifts and abilities. Some people that are proud may not come across proud at all because they're always down on themselves. And this is still evidence of pride because one is focused again on self. And what he wants is self to be elevated. Having this woe is me attitude is really self-pity, and self-pity is pride. And so, again, some of these are easy to see. Some of these maybe are not easy to see, like this next one, perfectionism. People who strive for everything to be perfect often do so for recognition. They do it so that they can feel good about themselves. And whatever the reason, this behavior is very self-serving. It's very proud. And the basic problem in making things that are less important more important. And again, that is a problem, perfectionism. Number eight, None of us suffer from this. Cody told me this yesterday. But it's talking too much. Cody said to me, I talk a lot, don't I? I said, yes, you do. So sometimes maybe you need not to talk so much and listen more. But talking too much. Proud people want to talk too much often because they think that what they have to say is more important than what everyone else has to say. As you can see from that statement, you can see how it could be pride. When there are many words, sin is generally unavoidable. That's what the Proverbs tell us. Number 9, which is talking too much. Number 10, you have seeking independence or control. Some proud people find it extremely difficult to work under someone else or to submit to their authority. They have to be their own boss. They might say, I don't need anyone, or I don't need any accountability for my faith. I don't need any accountability for my teaching or doctrine. And they're usually people that are rigid, people that are stubborn, people that are headstrong, they're intimidating. And they're also the people that may say it's my way or no way at all. And that's also a manifestation of pride, a seeking independence, a seeking control. Number 11 would be being consumed with what others think. Some proud people are too concerned about the opinion of other people. And many of their decisions are based on what others might think. Some are in a continual pursuit of gaining the approval and the esteem of others. Focusing on what others think of you or trying to impress others is being a man pleaser rather than a God pleaser. We should be thinking about what God thinks, right? We tend to compare ourselves to each other instead of comparing ourselves to God. If we compare ourselves to each other, we're going to keep lowering the bar. We compare ourselves to God. Well, God said in Matthew 5:48, you shall be perfect even as your heavenly Father in heaven is perfect. Well, if you raise it there, then that's what we're striving after. We're striving to be like Jesus, right? Number 12. Pride manifested itself by being devastated or angered by criticism. Proud people usually struggle a great deal with criticism. And these people cannot bear that they are not perfect or that they have weaknesses because they cannot accept who they really are. Number 13. Pride manifests itself by being unteachable. Many proud individuals know it all. Been around them? They know everything. I'm not picking on Cody, and I'm not attributing this to him. He's just a little kid, doesn't even know half the time what he's doing. But he used to tell us that he knew how to speak in Spanish and French. I was like, well, where did you learn how to do that? And then we had somebody that he met who could speak Spanish. I said, well, go ahead and talk to him. And it was cute. He's denied such claims since then. But you do get around, even as kids grow up, they tend to think they do know everything. And I tend to find myself, and used to say it a lot to my older kids as they were growing up, you know, I've been in this world a lot longer than you have. And I'm not saying that there will be things that you'll learn that I don't know anything about. But, you know, you can learn a lot of things about a lot of things, but it's another thing to have the wisdom to apply those things, to have the knowledge. You know, you can have all this great knowledge about all of this and all of these facts, but what are you going to do with it? And as you get older and as you mature, you apply it. You use it in your life. But when you're around people that are unteachable, they're superior kind of people, they can't seem to learn anything from anyone else. That's a difficult person to be around. In fact, a pastor can't be that. He is to be teachable, says in 1 Timothy 3:2. And if he's not teachable, then he's not qualified, at least at that moment, to be a pastor. There needs to be some more time. Number 14, pride manifests itself by sarcasm, by being hurtful or being degrading. Proud people can be some of the most very unkind people. They belittle other people, and they do this because they want to raise themselves up above others. And very often this can be cleverly done through making jokes, being jesting. And they may excuse themselves by saying, that's just the way I am. That's my personality. You say, well, change. The Lord can change that, can't he? You sure can. Number 15, another way, and you can see there are a lot of ways that pride manifests itself, by 15 of them so far, is a lack of service. Proud people may not serve because they are not thinking of others. They're waiting to be served. They want to be coaxed into serving. They don't want to serve if there's no praise in this, if there's not something in it for them needing this recognition. That's a sure sign of the wrong motive in service. We don't want to do anything, quote, in the name of Jesus for the service of his church just so that we can get recognition, right? But pride does that. Number 16, pride manifests itself by a lack of compassion. A person who is proud is rarely concerned for others and their concerns, and they cannot see beyond their own desires. So they're certainly not going to be compassionate toward others. They may expect others to be compassionate to them, but they're not going to be compassionate to others. Number 17, being defensive, blame shifting. These are ways that pride manifests itself. You often hear a proud person say, "Are you saying it's my fault? Well, what about you?" Don't you just love it when they try to turn the tables? I will tend to say, this is not about me. We're not talking about me. We're talking about you, and we're talking about what you just did. I dealt with a lot with that with students, but unfortunately, I've dealt with it with adults too. And I probably have done it myself. We've all done a lot of these things. Some things that, like I said, they're hard to see. They don't manifest themselves as easily for us to see. They blind us. And that's why that we have to hear what they are. Number 18, pride manifests itself by a lack of admitting when you're wrong. I told Naomi and Austin last night in the ceremony, I said, if I could give you one piece of advice, it would be this: forgive. Forgive. Somebody's got to be the peacemaker, right? Even if you don't want to do it, or you feel like that you're right and you want to harp on you being right, somebody has got to make peace, and it takes at least one person to get it going. But there has to be forgiveness, and there has to be admitting things too when you are wrong. A proud person will make a great many excuses. Things like, I had a bad day. I acted like this because I'm tired. Well, that's just blaming it on something else, when you should say, what I did was wrong. What I did was sin. Let's use biblical terms. Number 19, again, is a lack of asking for forgiveness. One of the things that we have sought to do with our kids, and it seems to have happened and is happening, is that when they do wrong each other, then they have to ask each other's forgiveness. I'm really big on that. Proud people will rarely admit their sin. They rarely will ask for forgiveness of others. They either cannot see their sin because they're blinded by their pride, or they just can't seem to humble themselves before someone else and ask for forgiveness, because it takes humility to admit when you're wrong. It takes humility to ask for forgiveness. Number 20 is pride will manifest itself by a lack of biblical prayer. Most proud people pray very little, if at all. Proud people who do pray usually center their prayers on themselves and their desires rather than on God and others. So if you wonder about your prayer life, or you wondering about pride, just survey your life. Do you pray? And when you pray, what do you pray about? Is it always about you? Is it ever about God? Is it ever about other people? Number 21, pride manifests itself by resisting authority or by being disrespectful. A proudful person will detest being told what to do. And we might say that he or she has a submission problem. What they actually have, however, is a pride problem. Is simply displaying itself in a lack of submission. Number 22, pride will manifest itself by voicing preferences or opinions when not asked. This is one who cannot keep their preferences or their opinions to themselves. So they offer it when it's not asked for. Don't you like it when you're around someone like that? when they do these things. And it's usually voiced without any consideration of others. I'm real uncomfortable around someone who is not in control of what they say. They just say anything. I have a friend of mine who was in a terrible accident years ago. He was working on a garage, and he was up in the rafters, and he fell. Well, when you fall, you usually do fall head first, and that's what he did. He told me he died three times where they had to bring him back. It spent a couple years just getting everything back together. But he told me, and this is what stood out to me, he said, I had no filters on my mouth. I didn't know how. He said, you know how when someone says something to you and you may think something but you don't say it? He said, I didn't think, I just said it. He said, I had a lot of people mad at me. And he said, if you know, his wife working with him, and she told him, said, if this continued another year, I think I was going to leave you. It was that bad. And he said, you know, gradually he got it back. Could you imagine that? That if your tongue was just that loose, you know, you had somebody said something to you and what you thought, you know, of course you held it back, you didn't say anything, but instead of holding it back, you just threw it out there. That's what he struggled with. Number 23, pride manifests itself by minimizing your own sin or minimizing your own shortcomings. A proud person typically believes that their sin, it's no big deal. They think that they have a little sin, and they think that others have to deal with it. They have big sin. They have to deal with their own sin. As far as them, they don't have, but just a little bit. Number 24, maximizing other sins and shortcomings. The proud person, other people are the problem. And they may magnify or they may bring attention to the sin of others by gossiping about the other's sin. Number 25, being impatient or irritable with others. A proud person might be angry with other people because they're concerned that their own schedule or plans are being ruined. They are often inflexible on preference issues. Number 26, you say, how many are there? Again, pride manifests itself in so many ways, so there are a lot of them. Being jealous, being envious, that's the way pride manifests itself. When they do not enjoy the same benefits, proud people have a hard time being glad for others' successes or others' blessings. Number 27, and this certainly is not a problem, but using others. Using others. That is a problem. Proud person usually views others in terms of what people can do for them. How people can meet their interests. Their focus is not on ministering to others. Everything is for them and about them, as we said last week. Another way pride manifests itself, and by the way, three more. Number 28 is by being deceitful, by covering up sins, by covering up faults, by covering up mistakes. Some proud people will do just about anything in order for others not to find out any of the negative things about them. So they'll cover it up. Number 29, using attention-getting tactics. A proud person may try to draw attention to themselves through how they dress, by bizarre behavior, by being rebellious, by always talking about their problems. And then last, number 30, pride will manifest itself by not having close relationships. Proud people often have no use for close relationships, thinking that the trouble outweighs the benefits. They may see themselves as so self-sufficient that they do not need other people. Again, that's a problem. Now just think about this. We said in Proverbs 6 last week that this is sin, that this is something that God hates. It's referred to as haughty eyes in verse 17. This is something that is to be rid in our life and is something like, as Matthew, or rather Romans chapter 6 tells us, that it is part of the old man. This is something that, as Philippians 2 mentions in verse 3, that we're told not to do anything from selfishness or empty conceit. Empty conceit is pride. But we're to have a humility of mind and regard one another as more important than ourselves. And again, that's something that has to be slayed, put to death in our life as believers. At any time, when we find ourselves lifting ourselves up, whether we do it verbally or whether we do it in our mind, we need to go back to these passages. And like when we talked about worry, we said that there were certain things that we needed to be thinking on. You remember that? Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute or commendable, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Think on this. Think like this. If you do this, verse 9 says, the things you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. Well, if you want the God of peace and you want to have the peace of God, in context, rejoice. Remember the Lord is right there with you. Pray. Be thankful. But also, think about the right things. Think about the right things. Pride won't let you do that because pride is self-absorbed. Pride is all about itself. And as we said last week, we come together to worship God, not ourselves. But sometimes, and maybe without intention, I'm sure here it's certainly without intention, but sometimes we come with all intentions to worship God, but we're so focused on ourselves or our problems or something that's going on in our life that we end up worshiping ourselves. Because that's what consumes our mind. That's what consumes our thoughts. We're not thinking about things that are true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and commendable. We're thinking about us. And again, I remind you where we started in Mark chapter 7. We've got to realize this stuff comes from within. This is what defiles us. This is what comes out of the heart of man. It's all a heart issue. And so if it's a heart issue, then it's all important, very important that we deal with this as we prepare to come together with God's people. In fact, I would say that this is something we need to deal with every day. Wake up in the morning, we ask the Lord to help us to not to give in to the cravings of our flesh, not to give in to the issues of our heart, but to walk in the Spirit, depending upon Him and depending upon God's Word to direct us and to lead us. And that's something that we need to do over and over and over. How many times have you, maybe you're thinking about the Lord, and all of a sudden this thought comes from somewhere, and it's a bad thought. And the first thing is, where in the world did that come from? But it's something defiling. And I hope that, what I do is I immediately, Lord, take that from my mind. Well, why is that thought there? I don't want to think that. I don't want that in my mind. And maybe you have a verse or so that you've memorized that you can begin to think about. But we got to be very proactive because this flesh is active. It never sleeps. It never slumbers. We also have an enemy that never sleeps or slumbers, right? And so we need to be faithful. And we need to be diligent to make sure that we're dealing with this element of sin in our life. Well, we're going to pick up the next one, which is lying, which is found also in the list in Proverbs 6. And we'll pick that up next time we're here. Father, we thank you so much for this time of looking at your word. We pray, Father, that you would just put wings to this into our hearts and that you would make it practical. And Lord, that you would help us to see these things. And we talked about these 30 ways in which pride manifests itself. Help us, Lord, to see this. Help us, Lord, to know when it manifests itself. And Father, help us to confess it and to turn from it. Father, we thank you that you're so good to us. And we know that because of Jesus and what he did on the cross, that none of us are worthy in any way to be here. None of us can deal with any of these issues in our life if it wasn't for Jesus dying first for them. And because he died on the cross for these things, that we have an opportunity to have victory over them because we trust in him. I pray that today, Father, as we think about these issues that have been brought up, Lord, that we would again look to the cross of Christ. Thank you for what you've done. And I pray, Father, that all of us in here know and love you with all of our heart. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.